I'm gonna rub my nipples
on
your chicken so it'll defrost quicker.
Hello, welcome
to Not Quite Hollywood, episode 823?
Yes. 28.
28.
Did you say 828?
828. And we're going to discuss some topics today.
We've been around since the creation of film.
You've been around since film was created.
And podcasting it.
Right. Oh, yeah, totally.
And as you can tell, August is still shirtless.
Very much shirtless. We can't focus. He's so attractive.
You can't focus
attractive.
On it. It's ridiculous.
Hot in here.
I'm Jamie.
John.
I'm shirtless August.
Shirtless August. We had a shirtless Chris Hemsworth conversation.
If you go to the character select screen and, you know, change the colors, there it is. Shirtless August.
And I think we'll start with my topic since it's going to come right off that last episode.
Yeah.
When we discussed Kubo and the Two Strings. And I had mentioned how it reminded me when I was younger and children's movies had darker themes and more mature themes and were a lot deeper and gave you more to think about as kids, which is what they should do.
Yeah,
they should give your children tools to, when they're growing up, deal with life.
Yep.
And so I guess my topic is, should children's movies be darker than they are now?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're all in agreement.
Yes. Good topic.
Well, I'll give my reasoning why. Okay, your children may not understand the themes right away, but, you know, they talk about subliminal messaging and stuff like that.
But they'll feel it.
Exactly.
They'll
be like, well, why do I feel this way?
Yeah.
And then, you know, later on, if they'd be like, oh, you know what? I'm feeling a little nostalgia trip. I'm going to go watch some of these children movies I watched as a little kid.
Yeah.
Throw them in, watch them, and be like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't realize that this kind of helped shape my personality or something like that.
And I was talking with a friend of mine about Kubo, and I was explaining how I always use the Dark Crystal as an example because it's very similar in that. I don't know if you guys seen Dark Crystal.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And it's basically about, like, there's these two races that are separated when the crystal on the planet cracked. And at first, when you're watching the movie, you think it's just good guys and bad guys. And then at the end, they show you that, no, they were one being. And when the crystal cracked, it separated it. It created, like, duality.
Hmm.
So when the crystal's repaired, the good guys and the bad guys merge again into one being. And I remember being, like, a kid, not knowing what that really meant, but knowing that that was very important. And it was very, like, emotional. I knew that it was almost like a instinctual feeling of duality, even though I didn't know what the word duality was at the time or what it meant. I just knew it was very, very important. Like, this was a very important part of this. And it was something special, you know. And, you know, growing up, getting a little older, watching it again, I was just like, okay, I get it now. There's, like, good and bad doesn't mean that they're separate. It means, you know, you can come together. You know what I mean? And so I think that's missing in a lot of modern children's movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like, sometimes Pixar will tackle an important subject.
Inside Out.
Inside Out, which I haven't seen Inside Out, but I've heard so much about it that it tackled
it. It hits. But not like Finding Dory, Cars.
No, that.
Cars 2, Cars 3, no.
Because to me, that's like, they hit surface level emotions.
Yes.
Let's just make something look really, really sad.
Yeah.
Or really, really joyful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, you know, but it's not making you think very deep about things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Do you have any other examples? Besides
Fox
old Likers.
Fox and Hound for me.
Fox and Hound.
Okay.
It's just
that's
like
a racially tension.
Well, I don't even see race.
No?
Well, I mean, I guess there is kind of that race because they're two different species.
That shouldn't be. It's like Romeo and Juliet mixed with race.
But for me, it's that though you may have differences with someone else, does not necessarily mean that you cannot be friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That friends is based upon connection. Being like, okay, there are some things that we connect about, so we can be really great friends, but we don't have to agree on everything or have to be the same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like that kind of helped me, you know, subliminally as I grew up, just being like really accepting of a lot of people around me, except for people who love comic book movies. I still don't fucking accept them. Fuck you guys.
Hey.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm right here.
I'm kidding. You see, it works. The movie works. Well, I can sit next to Jamie. I don't have to hit him.
You can. You
That's
are
only
shirtless.
At night.
He is
That's
He's checking
night.
You out.
No, I have to have the wife beater on enable for me to hit you.
Would you think that Labyrinth has similar... I mean, it's definitely adult-oriented. I mean, you see David Bowie's dick about 90% of the time.
I don't know if Labyrinth is considered a children's movie.
Yeah.
But I wasn't there when it was released.
I saw it when I was a kid. My friend Toby told me a story about why David Bowie's looked like he had a giant codpiece in his pants.
Yeah.
It's because the puppeteers had to work next to his groin for a lot of the scenes, and he said he felt uncomfortable having like his just junk just sitting there, you know, in front of their face. Like there's a scene where he's juggling balls or something, but it's actually a guy down there with his face like in his crotch throwing these balls around.
Oh Jesus.
So what he did was he stuck like a big like thing of potpourri in his crotch.
Huh.
And it just made it look like
he
had a giant cog, and the director was just like, leave it, perfect.
Wow. So no shit.
So because when I first saw the movie, I was like, this is supposed to be for kids, and everyone's just going to look at his crotch. But apparently there was a reason.
What's potpourri?
It's like the...
smell thing. Like
fucking the shit on the table, where it's like a little bowl of like smelly petals and pine. And
oh!
Yeah, potpourri.
It's just like a pouch of potpourri.
Probably marijuana.
That's weird. August
is too young for potpourri.
Potpourri? Like, that's pretty funny. I never even thought that would be... something somebody didn't know.
They couldn't afford to just go get some a cod piece. And,
I don't know. I guess he just
or jockstrap.
Maybe he felt good against his dick.
Yeah, maybe he liked it.
Maybe they liked
the smell. Great. Yeah.
But anyway, we're off top.
If I was that guy, I mean, it's David Bowie's junk. I mean,
what
keyword? David Bowie. Be like, oh, Cindy Crawford. Jennifer Jason Leigh, or no? Who was the actress in there?
Jennifer Connelly?
Just be like, oh, it smells like Jennifer Connelly.
Was she like 17?
Oh, gross, yeah.
Fraggle Rock?
He fucked all the Muppets.
He fucked the Muppets!
So I think to me, a lot of those movies, like Labyrinth, and maybe they were kind of more of a for general audience, or children latched on to them. Like, we talked about Ghostbusters before, how it's not for kids, but kids loved it.
Yeah.
Kids movies back then, and... to an extent, movies in general were not so worried about offending kids as they are now. Or to show them anything remotely adult or remotely mature. And it frustrates me now because, like, I think a lot of the kids' movies now should be more oriented towards that old way because we turned out all right. Now we got all these fucking kids singing these stupid songs.
Oh, God.
Liking these stupid fucking characters in these stupid movies.
Kubo and the Two Strings. There was only one licensed song in that fucking movie.
And it's amazing.
And it was at the very end during the credits, and it was Beatles While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Sung by Regina Spektor.
Bam!
Oh. Yeah.
Mm. That makes it even better because I love Regina Spektor. But anyways, there was no stupid ass, like...
Yeah, there was no song and dance routines.
No.
Fucking Zootopia.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of that movie, there was Shakira. Doing some stupid ass pop fucking song. Well, it's just, like, even the themes and getting those across to children, it's, like, they do hit on some good themes. But they don't do it in, like, a subtle, nuanced way. It's just, like, in your face being, like, feel. Mm-hmm. Not, like, talk afterwards and being, like, gaining insight and be, like, an understanding. It's just, like, this is what it is. And that's it.
Yeah, I mean, replayability is kind of lost. I mean, because you have these films that you get it and that's it. I mean, yeah, kids will watch these movies over and over again. Like, a movie I love to have... If I had a kid and he watched Kubo and the Two Strings all day, down.
Yeah. If I had two kids and one of them liked that movie and one didn't, I would prefer the one that liked it.
I put the other one up for adoption.
Yeah.
Me too.
The other one
adoption? Kick it out on the streets?
The other one likes Minions. It's like, get the fuck out of here, kid.
I'm kidding. I would not kick the kid out on streets.
You just lock him in a room by himself.
I would wait until the Blu-ray comes out, give him a second chance, and if he doesn't like it after the second viewing, then kick him out.
Then kick him out.
Good call. Good father. You're going to make a great father.
I know.
Like parents, because they're so worried about everything that their kids see.
Yeah.
That they're dissuaded from those things. Like, I'm going to bring up, like, my sister for an example. My niece is 3 years old. Anytime I want to show her, like, a movie trailer, I want to show her, like, the Jungle Book trailer, and I want to show her Kubo and the Two Strings.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister's kind of like, wait, is it dark? Are there any scary parts in it? Is there anything that she might get frightened of? And it's just like, they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
They're supposed to see those dark parts and see that. That's how you develop dealing with that stuff.
Just like with the theme of Kubo
and
the Two Strings.
But when they're not,
you gotta
like,
see some of that darkness to see the light.
as a kid growing up, some of my most memorable scenes of watching films were ones that terrified me.
Yeah.
Like, that to me resonates more than a feel-good, mindless movie with a fucking pop song in it. Like, I'd rather be scared. Like, I mean, these are shitty examples, but as a kid, I watched, like, Nightmare on Elm Street, and I was way too young for that.
Yeah.
I watched Pee-wee's Big Adventure, where that large Marge turned this fucking claymation creep fest, you know, and then, of course, Gremlins was over the top.
Gremlins, yeah.
I mean, Beetlejuice to a lesser extent, but...
Child's Play for me.
Child's Play was great.
Fuck that.
No. Hi, I'm Chucky. You want to play? That's that movie.
The Brave Little Toaster.
See, I haven't seen that
in a while.
98?
I used to watch that as a kid. But that's one that kind of sticks with me.
I don't know.
Well, I just remember there being a lot of, like, themes like death and stuff. Like,
yep.
Yeah.
There's Land Before Time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pretty sad.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I remember watching on VHS when I was a kid, Bambi.
Holy
and
shit.
And the mother,
yep.
Bambi's mother gets shot and killed, and it's just like, you don't see that.
No.
In these. You saw in the Jungle Book.
Mm-hmm.
Which it was another same argument I think I had in Jungle Book came out. Was,
yeah.
Wow, it's kind of a little darker, and there's characters are dying and stuff.
Yeah.
But,
yep.
I would say that in modern children's movies, people do die, but they come back.
Or they die off screen, like, my father's been dead for the past year. Yeah. Like, just fucking kill him on screen.
I know we already talked about it, but Kubo and the Two Strings. They bring the parents back, but fits within the movie logic.
Mm-hmm.
They just come back as spirits,
mm.
and then it's only to make it end on a happy moment with them together.
Yeah.
And that's it. Yeah. They don't come back to life. Kubo is now orphaned.
Yeah.
But still, it just like exactly that was actually, what it needs to be.
Like the moment before you saw the grandfather like transformed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was kind of sad because I was like, Kubo's like alone now.
Yeah.
He's got nobody except these weirdos in the village. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
So it was kind of neat to see. I'm like, oh, someone is going to be there with him.
Yeah. For the next year because he's old.
Because he's old and he'll die.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
In 2 months.
I'm worried about the state of film now. I have been for a while. I mean, just because, like everything else, this is a little off topic, but I heard today, like, a friend of mine, her daughter has to get stuff for supplies, for school supplies. They have to now have tissues and Clorox bleach wipes. It's required for their schooling.
For what?
For germs, I guess? I don't know. It's stupid. Like, why?
Was it college?
No, it's elementary school.
Elementary school? I understood Kleenexes. So that the school didn't have to pay for it.
Well, that's part of it, I think. But, I mean, like, to be, like, babying these children now, like...
Oh, yeah.
Let them get sick. That's why you're in a public school.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of a big part of it.
That's how you build up an immune system.
Mm-hmm.
Getting sick.
Like, don't play in the dirt. Don't play in the mud.
Yeah, the dirt's the best thing for you. Bacteria is important.
Yeah.
It's a true story. But, I don't know, I think...
Now we're going to go into how you should raise children.
Yeah.
From three childless... men.
Step one.
Three childless men.
Step one, find a woman.
That's our new podcast.
Step two, if they watch Minions, kick them out. Give them up for adoption. They're done.
Step three, don't have kids.
No, that's a good one. A lot of people out there probably shouldn't have kids.
Don't have them.
So, if your boyfriend cheats on you and then comes back to you and you're going to make him better, don't have kids with him.
Don't have kids with him.
In fact, don't have kids and don't talk to people. Sorry.
It sounds extremely direct. I'm like, do you know?
You hear that, bitch?
Whoa! Suddenly, it's over. I don't know. That's way off topic.
I saw a woman in Kubo and the Two Strings, and like her daughter was like up on her lap while watching this movie, and I was just like,
oh, that's nice.
It made my testes explode. I was just like, you know how women talk about, you know, to see a man, you know, playing with a kid, and they're just like, oh, my ovaries explode.
And his testes explode.
And my testes explode while looking at that. Because I'm like, that would be fucking awesome. Just be like, hey, hard to be a god. Don't you like this movie?
Oh my god.
My 6-year-old child.
Step four, don't have kids with August.
Daddy, what is life?
You know what? A lot of women are following that rule.
Me too.
They're even a step ahead. They're not even talking to me.
Not even with a condom.
No.
I think we missed talking a great opportunity for a podcast named Three Childless Men.
Hey,
Three Childless
Single Men.
And then as soon as one of us gets like a girlfriend,
you get kicked out. Another childless single man has to take the place.
Yes, and have like a podcast.
And see how long before everyone's replaced.
Like, that episode is, like, this kind of, like, ritualistic, and we throw, like, Gregorian chant in the background. Hoi Samira.
Jesus.
You are now gone.
It's like a shitty band that slowly but surely replaces every member. It's a shell of its former self.
I love how our topic is gone from...
Yeah.
We could say things like, speaking of dark themes for children,
yeah, I choose celibacy. It's like, no, you don't.
No. No one chooses celibacy. Are
you kidding me? So, dark themes?
So, dark themes? Are we done with this topic?
I think we're done with
this. we're done with this topic?
I think so.
Do you want to talk about it more?
No. I mean, I think we've all pretty much agreed that, yeah, we all know.
Some darker movies for kids.
Thank you. So what's your dark topic?
What's my dark topic? Oh, I'm doing my topic now. This is going to be a rant.
Okay.
Fuck film academia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's dick sucking of the movie by Orson Welles called Citizen Kane.
Damn.
I fucking hate that movie more than anything in this world. And I haven't even seen it. Because it's been tossed around so much.
Perfect.
It's been tossed around so much. It's like, water is wet, sun is hot. Citizen Kane is the greatest movie of all time. Okay, and this is stemming from this book I recently got. It's called How to Watch a Movie by David Thompson. And I should have been warned, because in here it says about, he wrote a book, the story of Rosebud, the story of Orson Welles. I was like, okay, you know, maybe cover that topic, because apparently in film academia, you have to have exounding love for Citizen Kane. So this book is, like, kind of going into movie and, like, you know, what is about watching a movie and, like, different ideas. It talks about, Thomason delivers keen analysis on a range of films from classics such as Psycho and Citizen Kane to contemporary fare such as 12 Years a Slave and All Is Lost.
Hmm.
And so I was like, okay, you know, he's kind of, they're in the little blurb or whatever, they're kind of hitting the basis, the more notable movies. And pretty much the majority of it is talking about Citizen fucking Kane. And I am tired of hearing about that movie. Persona by Ingmar Bergman a little bit.
Okay.
Which is good. Like, I that's when I actually started getting interested in this book. But it happens at the 200-page mark of 228 pages.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So it was the first 200 all Citizen Kane?
Pretty fucking much. I mean, it talks about Psycho for one chapter.
Is
chapter.
Every chapter like, Psycho is not as good as Citizen Kane, and this is why.
Yeah.
There probably was one
fucking 12 Years a Slave isn't as good as Citizen Kane, and this is why.
But I guess a little bit more of my rant is about actually this book. And I had seen like a lot of people online saying like, hey, you wanted to read some good film books, because I've been wanting to watch, you know, read some good books on film. And there's actually not a lot of books on film, unless it's just like about Star Wars or the Quentin Tarantino FAQ. FAQ.
Yeah.
FAQ.
I get it.
FAQ.
FAQ.
We need a Chuck Klosterman of film.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Well, see, that's what I was kind of hoping with this, is like, you know, maybe he'll delve into some other, like, you know, contemporary movies and give me some, like, more insight on movies that, you know, I've seen in more recent years. And he does, you know, recognize those movies, but just, they're all name drops.
So, you should have been warned when the fucking title is called How to Watch a Movie? That's such a subjective thing, because everybody watches different movies, well, let alone watches them differently.
I'll give you the title of some of these chapters.
I'm a piece of shit.
No, that's at the very
Citizen
end.
Citizen Kane, Gargoyle
like,
Balls.
Are we having fun? Screens, alone together. It's the idea of, like, you know, watching a movie as a group.
Yep.
See it once, watch it twice. Is it worthy of watching a movie twice? Or do you only understand and get a movie if you only watch it twice? Or if you watch it twice?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the difference between watching and seeing. Cinematic information. What is a shot? Cut? Does it hurt? What do you hear? All yada yada yada. Can you see the money? Document the dream. And where's the screen? And yada yada. So, I mean, it was kind of like interesting. Like, it had some interesting ideas about it. But a lot of the information that was given was just kind of like, kind of knew that. Watching a movie, it's a shared experience, but also individualized at the same time. When you see a movie is important, whether it be when it's first released or later. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I knew that.
And so, it's
like movies run at 24 frames per second.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Most times.
Most times. Unless it's The Hobbit.
Unless you're The Hobbit.
And so it's like this whole entire, you know.
He's old.
Yeah. He's an old guy. He's an old guy.
Holy shit.
Who's on the cover? Is that Nicole Kidman?
No. That is from an older movie.
That's not Citizen Kane?
Well, you see, there's Citizen Kane.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's 12 Years a Slave. And then there's Psycho.
The three movies he ever watched.
You know, that probably, that...
Is that Psycho?
Birds?
No.
Birds?
Looks like... I don't know maybe. Who that is.
She must be important. She's on the cover.
Kind of
looks
like
it's not Janet. From Persona, because Persona
kind is... Kind of looks like Janet Leigh.
So, like, I spent this whole entire book of being like, I'm not really learning anything here, dude. You're not really teaching me anything. So then it gets to page 226 of 228, and it's the closing chapter of the book, and I hit this sentence. You came into this book under deceptive promises, mine, how to watch a movie, and false hopes, yours. You believed you might make decisive progress in the matter of how to watch a movie. So be it, but this was a ruse to make you look at life. And I was like, fuck this book. As soon as those two sentences came up, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? You wasted my goddamn time. Read about Citizen Kane when I don't want to read about Citizen Kane. So fuck film academia.
And then at the end he says it wasn't even about film.
Yeah, I just wanted you to
life.
Look at
it's about life.
I wanted you to look at life.
Just like
I wanted things. To get here to fucking like get some interesting ideas, like not necessarily agree with them, but you know, kind of test what it is watching a movie, what it means to watch a movie.
Where did you buy that book?
I bought it at the Harvard Barnes and Nobles.
Let's go burn it down.
Yeah, I'm sure Harvard will agree. Which, if you ever want to like look at some film, you know, books or whatever, I found like the best place that isn't online is that. Harvard Barnes and Noble's bookstore.
Yeah, we can all just go to Harvard anytime.
No, you really can't.
I'm saying I don't want to travel to buy a fucking
yeah,
book.
You don't want to travel to Boston and go. But
so I want to know why you hate vehemently so Citizen Kane so much.
Because it's not the best movie ever made.
No, but I
people say but for that time. We're in a different era.
Well, and that worries me. Looking,
but there's no best movie ever made.
No,
exactly.
There isn't. They usually say that because it was one of the first movies that was like an quote-unquote epic. It was an entire person's life. And it was revolutionary in the way it made film. Like it had...
for that time.
It had... based on his editing techniques, yeah. And based on the story and what it was about, it was just really overlong and not really that good. But there's a reason why it's brought up in every film class, every film book. Because it's important to learn about.
It's a sort of jerk.
I don't know if it's a circle jerk.
It is. It's a circle jerk.
Like, I always hated AFI's
top 100
list.
Everyone, like, just passing around being like, Citizen Kane's the greatest movie. Here, let me get you, too. I'm going to jerk your dick as well.
Yeah, I was going to say,
because we all agree.
Who are only listening.
I am jerking a bunch of dicks.
Jerking all the dicks.
I am jerking Citizen Kane dicks all over the fucking place.
Oh, they shot Rosebud all over his face.
Rosebud. Oh, my God. It's the greatest line ever. Because it's said in the beginning and we don't know. We don't know what Rosebud means. But if you pay attention, you find out it's a fucking sled from his childhood.
Yeah. It's a cool idea.
Yeah, that has been done a million times better after.
Well, that doesn't matter. At that point.
And probably before.
I don't know about that. I don't think movies were that good.
Not movies,
late
but 30s. Stories.
Sure. Oh, yeah, stories, yeah. What I'm worried about is if we don't look at the history of film, like you never learn from history, like in just general, you always repeat it. So by like learning about where this came from, this art form was like formed. Like, you know, you got Kurosawa, you got like Tarkovsky. Yep. You got, I mean, a lot of films that have shaped the medium in a positive way. And I'd be afraid to see the day where people like the best movie of all time. I mean, it already happens. Is Ghostbusters from 2016? Like, you know, like it's current because it's here. You know what I mean?
You know what's actually topping the list? There's actually like a new list that was released recently. I don't know, like, what it is.
Well,
maybe it's AFI?
Is it Rear Window?
No. Mulholland Drive.
What?
Fucking David Lynch is at the number one movie right now.
Okay. I thought AFI, like, was garling Citizen Kane's balls for the past 80 years.
And you know what? It got topped by Mulholland Drive. Good, because Mulholland Drive is a 10 million times better movie than that. I was going to say more revolutionary as such, but I don't know if I could say that. I feel like what Lynch revolutionized was television with Twin Peaks. Because he brought absurdity to the television screen.
To a mainstream network.
Yeah. That's fucking revolutionary.
I don't know, you've seen Citizen Kane, John?
I don't like following lists.
Yeah.
Or groups that say, or even individuals like, what's his name who wrote this book?
David Thompson.
Who said, this is why, this is bad. I never, because you ask me what the greatest movie ever made was, I might say, like, Bad Taste by Peter Jackson.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. People, there's no value into lists like that. Like, when, like, AFI comes out with a list of this is better. I agree with that when it came out, it was probably revolutionary.
Actually, not when it came out, no.
No, it wasn't.
No, it was a failure.
Yeah, it was a failure.
It was financially, but...
Financially, but...
But it was a revolutionary movie in what he did in editing techniques and storytelling. I mean, at that time, film wasn't that way. I mean...
Okay, The Jazz Singer was the first sound film.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, sure, it was.
Does that make it amazing, one of the best movies
ever made? No, but it's important to look at these landmarks of film and...
I'm not saying Citizen Kane is important.
Sure.
I'm just saying it's not the most important movie ever made.
Nowadays, important is such a relative term, too, because
exactly.
You, what's important to you is not important to me.
Exactly.
Like, you're more interested in cinematography, right? More than story? I mean, like, do you...
No?
Because you say Batman vs. Superman was okay because of the cinematography, but I couldn't...
I didn't say it was great.
No, I know that. I'm just saying I couldn't forgive its story. Like, that's what I look for. And if I can have fun, maybe, and ignore the story, some bullshit in it, that's fine, but...
Oh, that's how I was. Like, I could ignore the story and just be like, this is going to be a story that I would see in a superhero movie.
Mm-hmm.
A la Civil War, Deadpool, Winter Soldier, Age of Ultron, of being not a good story, but at least it was more visually interesting. No, it's not that I... When I see a great movie... It's not just because of cinematography. It's not just because of story. It's because it's able to take both of the things, which can only be done with film, and does it amazing.
Mm-hmm. See, I think Citizen Kane's story is... It's like a... It would be like a great TV episode or something, like half-hour show, but it is overlong. You do follow Charles Foster Kane through his entire life, and most of it's pretty boring and meaningless. But, mm-hmm. I mean, the crux of the story is still a good idea. Like, this guy who had everything, all he wanted was his innocence, his childhood back. And he's just, like, this huge, like, newspaper magnate who could never have his freedom again. And it's kind of sad. But they, like I said, they just expanded that and made it really fucking boring. But it was an interesting watch. I watched it for a film class. You mean?
Yeah, I didn't have to watch it for a film class.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm actually really glad and kind of surprised that we didn't.
Yeah, that's pretty
because we watched The Kid, we watched Bonnie and Clyde. Bonnie and Clyde is amazing. That's great. That's revolutionary. Because before then, they had never, audience members had never seen someone get teared down by a machine gun like that before with blood. And also with your main character. Well, no. We also watched James Cagney. It's not Public Enemy. Maybe, yeah, it is Public Enemy.
Okay.
Film where it followed a gangster, a bad guy. Before then, you know, your main character was always a good person. And so then, yeah, that was revolutionary for the time.
Yeah, I watched a lot of films in that class that were way better. Like Battleship Potemkin, Rashomon, Birds.
You watched Rashomon?
Yeah. It's a really good fucking story. It's a really good story. And that's like, I like that idea of like the telephone game, he said, she said. Like everybody... on trial is like trying to tell what happened in this in the forest in this like murder, and even the ghost has a say, and they all have different opinions.
See, I haven't seen that.
It's good,
but I really want to. I've seen a lot of other Kurosawa, so
yeah. I get your point.
Yeah, it's just
I don't really have an opinion because I'm more of a Casablanca fan.
I've never seen it
than Citizen Kane. Like Citizen Kane, I was just looking up, came out 41.
Mm-hmm.
Casablanca came out 42.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. I've seen Casablanca.
It's more interesting. It's more... I don't want to compare it. It's like an Indiana Jones light. You know what I mean?
It's yes,
like,
very.
It's, yeah.
Very Indiana Jones-esque. Well, definitely with set design, location and stuff. Like, it gives that feeling off. Yeah, I mean, that's just my rant. It's just... I want to... I guess the big thing is I want to see a larger variety of films talked about. Being analyzed by these... People have the power to get a book published on film.
Like, now, what is he? Is he an author? Is he a
he's like a professor, author,
critic for a lot of things.
Yeah, he's written about film for The Guardian, The Independent, The New York Times, The Republic, Salon, Movie Line, Film Comment, and Sight and Sound. He's written 30 books on film, New Biographical Dictionary of Film, Rosebud, The Whole Equation, The History of Hollywood. Yeah, I mean, he's done a lot of different film books.
I want to see a variety. I'm tired of hearing about Citizen Kane. Tell me something about Solaris that I don't know about. Tell me something about Magnolia that I don't know about.
You know everything about Magnolia. Anything PTA.
Okay, you know. Okay, yeah.
But you, I still
you
like,
write that book then.
Yeah, you should.
Shirtless August.
Oh shit, you kidding me? If I could write a book on Paul Thomas Anderson?
If, do it.
Okay. Let's do a collaborative book.
It's a series of
childless single men talk about movies.
A series of essays on every single part of a movie.
You need like five for Inherent Vice.
Inherent Vice apparently is starting to garnish more, a better public opinion about it. A lot of people are starting to go back to it and say, I mean, this is on the internet, but a lot of people are starting to say, you know, I went back and watched it, and they're like, it's actually a really great movie. So a lot of people are thinking this is the new Big Lebowski. Being a movie that premiered and everyone hated it, and then going back, letting it settle a little bit. I mean,
I think the Lebowski thing was just more, not that people saw it and didn't, a lot of people saw it and didn't like it. I think it was a lot of people just didn't see it when it first came out.
Yeah.
Because I saw it the first time I saw it, I loved it. I didn't have to go back and watch it again. But I haven't seen Inherent Vice yet, so I don't know.
It's bizarre.
I'd
watch it again.
Well, see, that's the thing. It's like, I want to go back and watch it really bad because it's a noir film. So you're engaged in it and being like, all right, I want to solve the next step. But the irony behind it is that you're not supposed to feel that way during the movie because it's about a stoner PI. You're supposed to be kind of like in a stone state of just being like, oh, whatever happens, happens, man. And so you just go along for the ride, and then you get to the end, and you're just like, oh, I don't understand anything, or like, this is really weird and convoluted, and that's the point. It's just like kind of going with the flow, you know, which is very different for the noir film, I feel. This turned into me talking about Inherent Vice.
Somehow.
Just wait for my book, Anderson on Anderson.
With pictures.
How I Got My Name, : The Paul Thomas Anderson story. Yeah, so there's no segue for that.
As no segue? Works, but no? Has there been any film academic discussion on your topic?
Hell no. that was terrible. I ruined your segue. I'm sorry. No, my topic's just like kind of broad, easy topic. Are there any good comedy sequels? And if so, what are they?
One for me. Okay.
I've racked my brain before with this question, and I can't think.
22 Jump Street.
See, I don't even watch those. I can't stand any of them in it.
Hey, Jamie, what's your next communal movie?
Hold on.
Should change it. You should change it to 21 Jump Street. No. And then we can watch 22 Jump Street. No, one of the things about 22 Jump Street is, I mean, everyone, you know, talks about the reason why it's so great is because it makes fun of comedy sequels.
Yeah.
It makes fun of sequels, actually, really, in general. Just being like, even the trailer for it began with Ice Cube saying, or no, not Ice Cube, Ron Swanson.
Oh, Ron Swanson, yeah. Nick Offerman.
Nick Offerman.
Ice Cube to Nick Offerman.
They're both in the film.
Yeah,
oh,
both
in the film.
See, now, I thought you were mixing
now
up.
Now he's like,
I thought you were mixing up Ice Cube with Nick Offerman.
No.
They looked exactly the same, really.
But Nick Offerman's like, we're going to have you do the same exact thing as that you did last time.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't expect us to make our budget back or things to work out as well as the first time. So you guys have to do exactly what you did the second time.
Yeah.
And the plot is the same exact plot as the second one.
Yeah.
Except they or as the first one. Except for they're in college. It's different. And they move from 21 Jump Street at this church. It's like what? A Vietnamese
Korean Christian
church. So they have Korean Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so it gets condemned or whatever. So they had to move across the street to 22 Jump Street, which is another church or something or whatever.
I think so, yeah.
But But they walk in and it's just like, it's all high tech. It's like something that you'd probably see on CSI or just something like that. And like Ice Cube's like, we got a bigger budget, so we got all this new shit that's worthless. And
so the,
making fun of like comedy sequels. Like,
sounds like robbery.
Robbery?
I'm it gonna sounds like sell you're you. All tricked into
something. I'm gonna sell you on 21 and 22 no, you Jump Street. No, yeah, won't. I will.
No. Okay.
Airplane.
Whoa, what?
Oh, yeah.
For comedy action films.
Yeah.
It's Airplane.
Yeah, but Airplane it's doesn't star sounds. Jonah Hill and Magic Mike.
Channing Tatum is fucking hilarious.
No, he's not.
He's pretty funny.
And Jonah Hill is fucking funny in this movie.
Even the shittiest actors, there's always a film that you can deal
with. Oh, yeah. You know what? Jonah Hill is not Seth Rogen.
This is true.
Yeah, but...
but he's associated, so I have to
hate him. Associated, so I have to hate him.
You just copied me.
I did.
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
If you don't like
it's Hot... like a sequel.
Do you like Hot Fuzz?
The Hot Fuzz is brilliant. That's a masterpiece.
Did you watch the Lego movie?
No.
Did you? I was going to be like, yeah, this is the same directors that did...
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs? The forthcoming Han Solo solo movie?
Oh, God.
Is that by then?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm actually kind of excited.
Yep.
They, tongue-in-cheek fucking humor, they are just amazing at. Just being like, oh, this is stupid, so let's make it even more stupid.
Yep.
Not convinced.
I didn't think you'd
whatever. Whatever. I wasn't convinced. And then I saw it on Netflix, and I was bored, and I was just like, yeah, I'll throw this on, and I'll be like, it's actually pretty fucking funny.
Yeah, the reason why I brought it up, because most comedy sequels just do exactly what they make fun of.
Yeah.
Rehash the exact same plot by tweaking a little bit things here and there, reacting to what the audience liked about the first film and removing what they didn't like about the first film.
Having a new character.
New characters, of course. Ghostbusters 2 is famous for this, right? Because I didn't really get it. Until, like, Honest Trailers recently did, like, a Ghostbusters 2, like, thing, where they showed it's almost exactly the same plot. Even a big statue creature at the end, towering through the city.
Yeah.
You know, that film was, like, reactionary towards all the kids, like we talked about last topic, I mean, or the first topic, where they weren't meant to watch that film, but they really resonated with it, so they made it more kid-friendly. And so that sequel was... I'm not going to defend the sequel. It's not like a great comedy sequel because it does do a lot of the same things over again. I enjoyed it. I mean,
I like the bad guy.
Looks fucking Vigo, crazy.
It's a painting. The painting is the main antagonist throughout this whole entire movie.
Yep.
I love that.
One of the best comedy sequels that I think definitely predated 22 Jump Street and how they made fun of the original concept. Not so much the meta humor of sequels in general, but Gremlins 2 The New Batch.
Okay. I'm on board with you with this, because it is a parody
of
sequels. It gets more ridiculous, more characters. They even reference things that happened in the first one, but they turn it into jokes.
Yep.
And shit, like, stuff that was, like, tragic in the first one is now all of a sudden funny. Like, when, what's her name in the first one tells that tragic story of her father...
getting stuck in the chimney.
Getting stuck in the chimney, and he died, and all this stuff. Then in the sequel, she starts going off on another story, and they just walk off the screen. They're just like, no, we're not listening to this. And I was like, oh, neat. They're poking fun.
And, like, they took the rules of the, you know, don't feed them after midnight and all this stuff, and, like, really, like, blew them up and made fun of them. Like, and, like, there's a tour guide, like, you know, or, like, it was a tour guide or one of the tourists, like, so what happens if it's, like, a time zone thing? You're in an airplane. Like, they're asking questions people probably really asked at that point.
Huh. Yeah, they even break the fourth wall in this.
Oh, yeah.
Screen breaks and like Hulk Hogan's there in the theater.
I didn't see the Hulk Hogan one. I saw the John Wayne. No, he there goes in both of them. It's either Hulk Hogan or Leonard Maltin.
John Cena.
Like, yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
but the Hulk Hogan thing was great because I was in the theater watching it, and then the film like breaks down.
You're like, what?
And all of a sudden, there's a scene in a theater, and Hulk Hogan, because he was popular at the time, gets up throwing a fit. Like, why is this? What's wrong with the screen? And all this shit. I'm like. Like, as a kid, I didn't really get it, but as an adult, I'm like, oh, okay, they're totally just making fun of things that are popular and all that shit.
And it's the same director, and he wrote this, both of them. He just had, like, I don't know how he sold this, like, how he made it happen.
He was probably sitting at home, like, they want a sequel. How the fuck am I going to make a sequel?
Without
just making it, you know, just a run-of-the-mill Gremlins are back in another town doing shit, you know? So
yeah, he went overboard with it, and it was fucking great.
Hmm.
Because it
watch Gremlins too.
Yeah, I have to watch it soon. I have it.
Spoiler alert!
No, I didn't say that was my movie.
Okay, but I am gonna say I did. My I remember what my favorite comedy sequel was. It's Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Yes!
I never laughed so hard.
One of the funniest fucking movies in the world. I love that movie. Oh, I need it on
something about being alive, and it's like, no, you won't be.
Yeah. It was just, me and some friends just started alive. Making fun of that whole film.
You will die.
No, but, no, she's like, but you won't be.
Oh, really?
And it's really fucking bad.
I thought she says, but you will die.
No, she never says that. No, she just... Because your mother, you're alive. Like, oh, okay, you won't be. He's like, what the fuck? Yeah, that movie's awesome.
Because the first one's a comedy, too. Like,
I guess,
God.
It's like the best ironic comedy sequel.
Yeah. People praise The Room. I'm like, fucking Mortal Kombat movies. Those first two?
Second one's so much better, though, in that regard. Oh, my God. It's a train wreck.
Oh, yes.
I mean, there are a lot of examples. Obviously, Caddyshack 2 is pretty bad.
Oh, examples of sequels, not good ones.
Yeah. Okay. I would say one of the better comedy sequels, actually, and one of my favorite of the series, is Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
That was the third one.
Yeah.
And it was, to me, the funniest one.
And growing up, I enjoyed all three of them, actually, even European Vacation.
Growing up.
Yeah.
Okay. They say grown up, and I was like, what? You love the grown-ups? And the sequel? Fuck me. Mm-hmm. Damn, John. I knew you were an idiot, but not that big of an idiot.
Holy shit. Not that bad. Not yet. You haven't seen it yet.
Evil Dead 2. Army of Darkness.
I'd say those are really good.
Horror comedy.
They took the idea and they kind of turned it and spun it around. I think I like that idea.
Especially, Army of Darkness. The giant poster right over here in John's room.
Yeah.
Where it felt like Sam Raimi is just like, yeah, let's just take this concept and just blow it out of fucking proportion.
Blow it out of proportion. Not as gory horror, but as just action, fun comedy adventure. Mm-hmm.
Medieval war movie, basically.
Another way I like how they did it is Hot Fuzz is a sequel to Shaun of the Dead in every way but the story. Because everybody's... I mean, it's cheating because I think they weren't going to do a Shaun of the Dead 2 and I'm glad they didn't because I appreciate when a film is by itself and they don't try to rehash all the same jokes. But Hot Fuzz, you have that momentum from the director, from the two stars... And, like, it goes into it. It is a sequel. It's almost like they're playing a play, like, dress-up, because they are. But I like that as a pseudo-sequel, if you will.
And then there was World's
End. World's End, yeah.
And, I mean, the Edgar Wright, Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, they all have gone to say it's, like, the Cornetto trilogy. Mm-hmm. So I guess I would say that, yeah.
I'm cheating.
Yeah, it's in a way.
I'm looking at John's wall for inspiration, so...
Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 was pretty bad.
It's pretty fun how dumb it was. That's the one with Dennis Hopper, right?
Yeah.
Holy Christ. That, I was, like, blown away as a kid. Like, what the fuck's going on? Because there are a lot of...
Comedy sequels.
There are a lot of bad ones, right? Like...
Pitch Perfect 2!
No shit.
Oh, that's not really comedy. Or is it?
Quotations. Comedy.
Is it even a movie?
Like, there's a lot that try to rehash... Come back in and rehash jokes, like Anchorman 2, Zoolander 2, Dumber 2.
Oh,
they're like, we have to hit these exact points and make this massive fight between the anchors bigger than ever and have a ghost. And it sounds like they're fucking high on crack.
Did Dumb and Dumber 2 come out?
Yes. Fall of 2014, I think.
Holy shit.
You ponder that.
I forgot.
I would recommend, I would prefer to see the same, like similar to the Cornetto trilogy. These people coming together and trying different ideas.
Yeah.
Like, even if I know I'm not a big fan of it, like, they could have easily done The Nice Guys too. Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg. Terrible example. But instead they did something different. Which is, I appreciate that. They did Daddy's Home.
Some
bullshit.
Ew.
I never watched it, but...
Ew.
But I prefer that over just, like, here's some more of the same jokes. You know, it's almost like a lazier screenplay.
I want a Nice Guys too.
That's different though, because I think that's more of a serial. Like that's an adventure. Watching it's like almost like a better TV show.
Yeah,
Nice Guys would be a great TV show, but I don't think that sequel would be a bad idea at all.
Mm-mm. I mean, they said a Lego Movie 2 was going to come out. So
sure,
is that a comedy sequel or is that just a children's movie?
Technically, I guess. Yeah. What were you gonna say?
I was gonna say I think we all agree it's very, very, very hard to make a comedy sequel stand out from the original.
Well, and that's the thing, is like any example that we came up with that was a good one was one that made fun of having a sequel.
Yeah, that's
that's like the only way it works.
Yeah, it's hard enough to make a good comedy in the first place. So why try to fuck it up?
Scary Movie 2.
Yeah, but it's a parody to get it, though.
Yeah, I like the first two. I can't help it. I mean,
I know.
No, I'm saying...
Can't help it. Fucking accept that.
No, I'm saying I can't help...
Don't worry. We won't judge you.
Well, I'm not saying like 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever the fuck number they're at now, because I don't, but...
Three was the drop.
Yeah, it was, because the fucking Wayans brothers left. That was really what killed it.
Yeah, but they came back for a haunted house.
In my mind, that's not a thing.
I was forced to watch that.
Fuck that.
By a girlfriend's friend. And they're like, they said this is a really funny movie. You like movies, so let's all watch this movie together. And I was just so like...
reductive. You like movies. It's like saying, oh, you smoke weed. You like drugs. Try this ecstasy and cocaine mixed up. It's like, great. Done.
I wouldn't have been able to do it.
Speaking of drugs, weed was involved as well. And it didn't. No. It actually made me like kind of pissed off, because I'm like, man, I'm really wasting my high right now by watching this really unfunny, not even stupid. Everyone laughs and just got to be like, ha, yeah, it's funny. Just so I can show that I'm, you know, enjoying. And afterwards, like, oh man, that's such a great movie. And I'm just like, do you guys want to watch Big Lebowski now?
Nope. I have a movie to pick, though, this week.
I was talking about that group. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. Let's close. Let's get out.
I want you guys to watch this film because... So, how many people have seen Your Next?
I saw it.
I've seen it.
Did you guys like it?
I don't know where this is going.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, the movie we're going to watch is I'm Next.
No, there's no... No. We're not talking sequels. No, it's a southern one. It's Y'all Next.
It's
Y'all are next.
Is it Next?
No, it's not Next. That okay. But what, Nick Cage?
Yeah.
No. It is the follow-up film from Adam Wingard, the director, is the 2014 The Guest. Dan Stevens from Downton Abbey. I've never watched that show, but I heard he's good in it. And he steals the show. And it's an intense like thriller, and it's like really fun, and I think we'd all enjoy it.
Okay. That's reasonable. I mean, that's one I've heard a lot about. I watched a clip from it. Thought, I'm like, okay, this is going to interest me. Now you're forcing me to sit down and watch it, and I'm excited to see it.
Oh, God, he's going to come back around. I fucking hate it.
I fucking hate it. This is the worst fucking movie. It's just a rough and ripoff.
That's what I get from the trailer.
I did say it to him. It does remind me of Drive and how it's shot, and it's a good film.
Yeah. It's a style that's been expanded, or not really expanded upon, but it's been...
regurgitated ad nauseum.
Yes, a lot. In all of our media, video games, music.
So stay tuned for our thoughts on that. We have actually a really exciting special guest next week, our friend Brian. He's going to talk some music.
Yeah, he's a music guy.
Music and films.
And, we're also going to do something really special while we're recording.
Oh, yeah!
We're going to eat...
What the fuck?
Supposed hottest salsa in the
fuck
world.
Fuck no. Yes. Fuck that.
The three of us are.
I'm not.
And we're going to try to record a broadcast after we eat the salsa.
So expect a whole entire podcast of me just like talking with moans going on in the background.
Moans? Maybe because it tastes so amazing.
Yeah.
I'm excited for this because I love hot food. And I want to push myself to the utmost limit of that.
I mean, yeah, we're not entertaining enough, so, you know, we got to add in that.
Here's some tricks, kids.
Well, it was just a weird series of events because I was up home visiting. A friend of mine had bought the salsa for her husband and her sister and her brother-in-law, and they tried it, and they said they couldn't even deal with it. So she messaged me since I was in town. I like hot salsas and stuff to pick it up.
Mm.
And I mentioned that, and then Brian, who happens to be the guest next week, saw that and was like, I have to try the salsa. So we all made it. We made a pact. No one's touching that salsa.
Yeah.
Till we're sitting here recording the podcast and we're gonna try it.
It's gonna be great.
I can't smell it.
Like, you can smell it.
Okay. You can smell the fires of hell.
I wanna smell it.
It smells so hot. I can't wait.
No.
I was tempted. I almost tried it today, but I said no. I'm gonna wait.
I have weak digestion already, so no.
All right. You can laugh at us if you want. We're going to...
Oh, yeah, I will.
We'll be sweating already, so... But anyway, this is Not Quite Hollywood. Follow us on Facebook, Not Quite Hollywood. If you have an email, or notquitepod@gmail.com for longer form questions and or suggestions for topics. Honestly, we'd love to have them.
Let me know if I should take my shirt off more often during the podcast.
Yeah, did it help the overall audible experience, or was it...
distracting.
Deafening? Because I was distracted the entire time. But I can see his hairy chest.
It's all the tattoos, man.
Anchors away.
Salty eyes.
Not sure what that means.
Just a song.
All right. Well, anyway, I'm Jamie.
John.
And I am shirted August.
No, you're not.
Okay, I'm still shirtless.
Yeah.
Just for you guys.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Bye.